Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, we want to welcome everyone back to another podcast for Bear His Cross. You know, we have been setting, we always eat before we do this. Well, I say always, we've been eating before we do the podcast. And so we get in this discussion at the kitchen table, and I'm telling Thurston about doing some DNA testing and what we found out in the ancestry. So you learned a lot about your ancestry a little bit today.
Yes, I did.
And it's always neat to learn those things. And so we're just glad you're joining us. We're glad you're here for another podcast. We hope that you're getting the benefit out of this that we are, because I know that every time we get finished, I feel like I learn something new. I learn something more. And that's the important thing about studying God's Word. So as you're studying God's Word with us, you know, and we do hope you pray for us and you pray for the podcast. But as we're doing that, you know, it's important that we really dive into God's Word and we... A life application. Is that a good way to say it? Okay. So we're starting today. We've been studying Jonah. And for most of you know, Jonah was told to go preach, and Jonah did not want to do that. And so he turned and went in opposite direction. We're starting with the fourth chapter of Jonah today. So what verse are we going to start with?
We're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. And we're going to, it's one of the best verses in the Bible. And I just kind of set it up to you.
Okay.
Jonah goes and preaches, and we talked, remember last week, about how ungodly the Syrians were. They were just cruel people, and he didn't want to go, and God sends the storm, but the fish swallows Jonah up, spits him out, and he goes preaches, and they repent. But I want to look at chapter 4. If you would read verse 1 and 2, this is going to be... It's so good right here.
All right. So we'll go ahead and read it. Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 says, But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Tell me why you wanted to read that.
Okay. Well, because Jonah knew God. He knew God better than most of us does. And I'm going to tell you why. Basically, this verse is saying that when these people repented, it made Jonah mad.
Made him mad they repented.
Yeah, he got mad. You know, this is the greatest revival in all the Scripture. This is it. Is the evangelist, what's his reaction?
He gets mad about it.
Gets mad about it. He didn't like his congregation. He didn't like the people that he was preaching to. But then he says something about God. This is so important for everyone listening to understand what Jonah says here. The Bible said he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord, was not this my saying? Is this not what I told you?
Folks, you got to hear my phone go off.
He said, is this not my saying while I was in my country? Talking about while he was in Israel. Therefore, I fled for Tarshish, for I knew. And listen to this. Jonah said, I knew you're gracious, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. In other words, here's what Jonah was saying. He says, God, I knew that if these people repented, you weren't going to do nothing to them.
It's almost like he wanted to see destruction come to these people.
He did want to see destruction come to them. They had been the enemies of Israel for years. For years they had invaded Israel. Israel and the Syrians, they despise one another. The Syrians were cruel people. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. And Jonah said, is this not what I said while I was in Israel? That you're merciful? That you're kind? You're forgiving? If they repent, you're going to forgive them. This is what I said before I left my country.
Is it? Have you ever seen the movie Tombstone? Okay, is it not like where he says it's not revenge he's wanting, but a reckoning?
Yeah.
So Jonah wanted a reckoning.
Yes.
He didn't want revenge necessarily. He wanted God to just wipe him out.
Wipe him out. Okay. Now, but there's certain things about, you know, and Menu said this last week. Here's what Menu said, and it's true. You said, Jesus said that Jonah preached and people repented, and he said a greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus was giving Jonah a compliment.
Right.
He really was giving Jonah a compliment. Right. So here is why I love this verse, because God tells the truth, yep. And God is honest. And, you know, this was something that, you know, I'm sure if you could ask Jonah today in heaven, he'd say, man, I should have been more forgiven. I'm sure that he sees it now, but God displays his weaknesses. But the thing about this is Jonah knew God.
Well,
he knew about God. Let me just say this.
Yeah, and you go ahead.
I want to say this, but I've told my church over and over and over, one of the most important things that you're going to learn in your Christian walk, one of the most important things that you're going to learn in your Christian walk is that God really, 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 really loves you. That God has that kind of love for you. And once you learn that, see, Jonah knew that.
And it made him mad.
Yeah, he didn't want revival to come to these people.
So looking at this, the way we know God's love, and we know of God's love, I'll say that. We right. can't understand the full aspect
right.
of it.
Right.
But Jonah had an understanding of his love and maybe even his compassion. His
he did. He said he did.
Because he knew he was swallowed up and then he was, you know, redeemed from the belly of the great fish, of the belly of hell. And then he goes to these people and he preaches to them. And then God shows the same love and compassion to them. And it makes Jonah mad. Do you not think that's a good picture of how Christians are sometimes in today's society?
You know it is. You know, I know that we say a lot. We tell people we'll pray for them, and people will tell us they pray for us, and we appreciate the people that do. We appreciate the people that do. But if we understood God's love, if a person understood God's love for them and God's provision for them and God's protection for them, if they understood the love that God has for them, Jonah had to have some understanding of that, because he tells God, is this not what I told you before I left?
Yep.
If they repented, you'd forgive them?
So Jonah had an understanding that God was going to show love and compassion towards them. And you made a point about God doesn't lie.
No.
You know, there's a lot of people in today's culture that's going to question the Bible, the authenticity of the Bible. They think that just a bunch of men got together and wrote it and all this stuff. Okay, the Bible is either 100% true or it's 100% false. Jesus was either 100% true or 100% false. And either Jesus was the perfect Savior we believe Him to be, that we put our faith in, and He therefore loves us, He shows us compassion, He forgives us, or He was a liar.
Well, the biggest liar in history.
In history. And we know that God cannot lie.
Right. He cannot lie.
But what God can do is He can teach us lessons about our lying and right. about who we are. And I think that rolls into what happened with Jonah here. Jonah wanted compassion shown to him.
To him.
He wanted the love. He wanted this. He said the slow to anger. He wanted that shown to him. But who did he not want it shown to?
The Assyrians. The Ninevites.
His enemies. He didn't want that. And that's what I go back to a lot of times. People in the church, we're so quick, pardon me, we're so quick to jump in and want God's wrath poured out on our enemies. Not our friends, but our enemies. We're so quick to want that when we should be trying to look at it through the same eyesight vision that God has.
Exactly. Well, you know, I want to say this to you. Romans 8:29 says that God is conforming us, that God is conforming us to the image of His Son. Can you flip to chapter 8?
Yes, sir. I've
got it. Read 28, then read 29, because I want to show you something here.
Okay, 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren."
So that verse, Romans 8:29, the word conform means to change. Said God, now listen, maybe somebody may be listening and they may say, well, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes. And well, that verse right there says that when you get saved, that's the beginning of your journey, that God is conforming you, and we call that conforming sanctification. Yes. But it's a process of God molding you into the image of His Son.
Okay, let me ask you a question here.
Okay.
If we're going to take metal, and I don't know if you've worked with metal a lot. I'm not a welder or anything like that, but I do know this, that if you're going to take metal and you're going to bend it to the shape you want it to bend to, mm-hmm. to make the form you want it to take to, you heat it. So a good analogy I'm trying to pull in there with what Paul is saying, if we're going to be conformed to be like Christ, we're not going to be cold, we're going to be hot. We're going to have to be malleable. We're going to have to be able to be willing to be bent. The only way to get that steel or that metal to bend is to heat it. So when you accept Christ as your Savior, whether you say, well, I've got a lot of things in my past, whatever it may be, when you accept Christ as your Savior, that's when the heat gets turned on. And I mean that spiritually. That's when troubles are going to come. I've always felt like that an inactive Christian or a lost person, Satan doesn't really, he's not going to push them. It's the ones who are pursuing godly lifestyles. It's the one who's trying to be conformed to that shape of Christ. That's when the heat gets turned on.
And the thing about that is, I heard this preacher went to Israel. I was watching TV, and he said he went to Israel, and this guy was putting silver into a fire. He's getting the melt. He was melting away all the stuff in there that didn't need to be in the silver.
The impurities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he asked the guy, he says, how do you know when to pull the silver out of the fire? He said, oh, that's easy. He said, when I see my image in it.
That is a great analogy.
When I see my image in it, I can pull it out of the fire. Well, Romans 8:29 says, now listen to what I'm going to say just for a minute. See, God is conforming us to the image of Jesus.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So, but I want you to look, you know, so if God is conforming us to the image of Jesus, I just want to give you just two or three thoughts or just to think about. If God's conforming us or He's changing us, well, what that verse tells me is that I need to change.
We have to be malleable.
We have to be changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saved, but there's always going to be areas in your life that God is going to work out.
No matter how long you're on the faith journey, in your pilgrimage in this life, yeah. to your last breath, there's going to be things you still have to work on.
Paul said that the spiritual man wars against the flesh. That's what Paul said. Everybody has a flesh that wants to do its own thing. If anybody says any different, they wouldn't be very, they are not very honest.
Yep.
I mean, our flesh wants to do the things of the flesh.
You prove the flesh by saying, I don't have things I have to work on.
Right.
You really are. You're proving the flesh.
But the spirit, Paul said, with the inward man, I desire the things of God. The spirit of God in you, when he came to live in you, you have the Holy Spirit. And that inward man, Paul said, with the inward man, I want to serve the law of God. But he said there's a warfare between my spirit and between my flesh, just what Paul said.
It's almost like I've always thought of it being like two fighting dogs. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to be the strongest. If you feed the spiritual dog, it's going to be the strongest in your life and you're going to be conformed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are feeding the fleshly dog, it's going to be the one that's going to be the strongest and it's not going to be conformed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and I said all of that to say something, and I want you to think about what I'm fixing to say, because this is really good. I want to show you four things that Jonah said about God.
Okay. You go ahead and let me get back to Jonah here. I didn't mark my...
Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And Jonah said, "Was not this my saying, while I was yet in my country," talking about Israel, "therefore I fled to Tarshish." Remember, he, instead of going east, he went west. Now here's what, here, I love this about Jonah. Jonah 4 and 2. He said, "For I knew..." Now, boy, everybody needs to grab this. Jonah said, "For I knew you're a gracious God." He means a God full of grace. That's the first thing he says about God. "You're a gracious God." The word gracious means favor, right?
Mm-hmm.
"You're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. You're a God that has mercy." Look at this. "You're slow to anger. You're slow to anger. And of great kindness." So when Jonah is describing God, that's why I said he probably knows God better than a lot of people knows God. Because a lot of times, and this is to everybody, not one person, but a lot of times when you go through a really tough spot or you go through something, maybe you'll say, "Where's God? And does God really care?" Well, Jonah just took a 3 days journey in the belly of a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he said. He said, "God, you're full of grace. You're a gracious God."
Unmerited favor.
Yes. He says, "God, you have favor on my life that I didn't deserve. I didn't earn. It was just your goodness, your favor on my life." And well, every Christian can say that.
Oh, absolutely.
God is a God of... He's a gracious God. And Jonah said, "But you're merciful."
Because he could have let Jonah die.
Yes.
When they threw him overboard.
All he had to do is death.
Right. Yeah.
You die.
Yeah, just die. Yeah.
You're in the middle of a sea, you die.
Well, and you think about just, and I know, you know, we can get into all kinds of science side of this, but he could have been, his flesh could have been eaten off the bones from the acid in the fish's stomach.
But, you know, we look at Jonah, the guy that had took a 3-day journey in the belly of a fish, and he cried out to God and said, I'll pay my sacrifices. But I want to say this. At the end of that, he says, "God, you're gracious. You're merciful. You're slow to anger." Takes a lot to anger you. You know, if it didn't take a lot to anger God, we'd all be in bad trouble.
Oh, we'd.
With all of us, David.
The picture that most people have of God, most people who don't have a Christian understanding of God, they think of this big, powerful entity in the sky ready to strike people down with lightning bolts.
That's it.
And so someone who is quick to anger would be that kind of God. But that's not the God we serve.
No, he said you're slow to anger. Look the four things, and real quick, again, he said you're a gracious God. You know, and every one of these, I would just ask everybody to ask themselves, is this how you view God? And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you don't view God like this, you're going to have problems.
So in our mind, as long as you're not driving and listening to the podcast, if you're just listening, close your eyes for just a moment and think. These are the attributes. When you picture God, is this the attributes you place on our Heavenly Father? Go ahead. Okay. Gracious.
Yeah, he's gracious. Well, look, one last time. He's gracious, but he has mercy. He's merciful. He has mercy. Do you view God as a God of mercy? In other words, is he God of hellfire and brimstone, or is he a God of mercy?
We know him to be a God of mercy. That's why he sent his son.
Yeah, and look, slow to anger and of great kindness. He's of great kindness.
Those attributes flow together, do they not?
Yes. Well, you know, Jonah is describing God, and that's why I said Jonah knew God. Now, I want to say something here.
Okay. We're almost out of time, so go ahead and close us out with this.
He knew God. Was he perfect? And maybe we'll get into that next week. He wasn't. He wanted his enemies dead.
Yep.
But he knew God.
He was the opposite of the attributes he was attributing to God.
And what I said at the very start of this, David, to know that God is a God of kindness, God is a God of forgiveness, of mercy. If you get that of God, it'll take you through tough times.
That's it. And what we'll do is we'll pick up on next week's podcast with what you're thinking about right now, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to Bear His Cross. You can find more information at bearhiscross.com. Also, we want to invite you to go to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider and leave us a rating so other people know about this podcast.